Hi, everybody, and welcome to Japan Baseball Weekly. This is John Gibson.
And this is Jim Allen.
And we're going to talk to you this week about our predictions, and we're also going to discuss the number of home runs and the top rookies and a few other notes. So let's get started with clearing the bases.
Okay, first of all, for our newspaper picks, we make predictions every year. And sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're famously bad.
Look, nobody remembers our predictions. Only one person, I think that would be Wayne Grassick, who puts a book together, and he probably remembers them better than we do.
I don't think he remembers Rich's.
But, this year we had some very similar picks in the Pacific League and the Central League. And then we had some very different picks as well.
Well, the Central League's been pretty stratified for the last, really since the year the Bay Stars finished third.
Uh-huh, that would be 2005, I think it was?
Could have been.
Check that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 2005.
Since that year, it's been pretty stratified with essentially the Giants, Tigers, and Dragons finishing in some order of 1, 2, 3.
Right, yes, it was 2005. They finished in third place. 69 and 70, they were under 500.
That was the last year the Tigers finished first.
Okay, that was 2005 as well.
So it's pretty much a question of whether the Swallows or perhaps the Carp are going to break into the top three and what order the top three are going to be in.
Right, and what you picked the Giants to win the Central Division or the Central League, and you picked the Tigers and Dragons to also make the playoffs, but you picked your team, the Swallows, to finish fourth.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, they didn't really have the firepower. They've got the pitching and they got the defense, but they don't have the big offense. That they don't have a lot of depth, especially they don't have a lot of offensive depth. They got Josh Whitesell, who I like. Aoki, who I like, Beavis, who I like.
Beavis, that's
Hiroyasu Tanaka.
Yeah.
They've got, I've liked Hatakeyama for a number of years.
I like that kid. I mean, you know, he's chubby, he kicks his leg out, he's got a lot of moving parts, but he makes good contact, he hits home runs, he's cheap.
Yeah, Miyamoto is an amazing player. So they have an offense. They have an ordinary offense to go with a very good defense and some pretty impressive pitching. But in essence, they don't have enough offense to make it work at the very top of the level. So I think when you compare them to the Giants, Tigers, and Dragons, it's not a really good matchup for them. The Giants are fabulously deep. No matter how bad you think their pitching is.
And I think it's bad. I think it's bad.
they do. It is pretty deep. They still have resources. It's more a case of they have to sort of find the right roles for people, I think, than actually go out and back up the truck and find some pitchers.
Right. And that was my reason. Actually, I didn't even really want to pick them to finish third, but I figured just on sheer will alone and offensive talent and brute that they would be able to push their way into the playoffs. I didn't like their starting pitching last year. I don't really see where, other than Sawamura, the rookie, Hirokazu Sawamura, other than him, he might be their best pitcher already, and I don't really see any improvements.
Itsumi's been so far so good. We haven't seen a lot of the Giants because they've had a lot of days off. They started with a two-game series, and then they're off this weekend because of the they've abandoned Tokyo Dome except for practice.
Right, the quirk in the schedule here with the rescheduling of the games because of the earthquake and tsunami.
But essentially, they do have a lot of pieces. They do have a tremendous offense, and they're going to score runs regardless.
They're going to score runs. You can't keep a good group down like that.
The Tigers essentially are the same. The Giants are an A offense. The Tigers are a B offense. The Tigers have some pitching depth. They have some old guys hanging around, but they also have some pitching depth, and they have some young players coming up.
Sorry to interrupt you here. The reason I picked just to go through the picks here, Jim has picked the Giants to win the Central. He's picked the Tigers and then Dragons, and I picked the Tigers to finish first, the Dragons second, and the Giants third. And my reasoning for the for picking the Tigers to finish first was just a hunch. Because
a lot of hunches. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of looking at the numbers and everything, I can't really see it on paper. But Atsu Shinomi, left-handed starter, Tsuyoshi Shimoyanagi, he is one of those famous crafty left-handers. And then Jason Standridge has pitched well. He's done nothing.
Yeah, Jason has pitched well.
And Minoru Iwata, those are proven guys. And
you haven't even gotten to Kubo yet.
And I haven't even gotten to Kubo.
And Akiyama, who's a guy I like.
Yeah,
a 19-year-old last year, and he was pretty impressive.
Young kid.
But they do have a lot of guys who could be pretty good. The Dragons, you can say the same about their pitching, because you just know they're going to get somebody out of the farm team who we really haven't seen much of, and the guy's going to win 7 or 8 games before he goes back down.
Yeah, probably because they hear it every year. Every year some guy pops up out of nowhere, wins a bunch of games. Even a guy who started last week, Yudai Kawai, he won a club record 9 or 10 games in a row in 2009,
right.
And then we didn't really hear from him much last year.
You never know who it's going to be. It might be Daisuke Umai again. It might be one of these kids that we haven't heard much of. So they have talent. Now, I didn't pick the Dragons to finish third because they've never finished they've never won back-to-back titles.
Right.
Ever. They always finish in the top three, but they've never won that. So I picked them to drop down. There's no real reason why I think the Tigers are a better team. All three of them are a step ahead of the Swallows. I think the step are ahead of the Carp, and everybody's a step ahead of the Bay Stars in their worst nightmare.
Yeah, I think the Bay Stars, and they started out pretty. I mean, they got the Yokohama crowd excited. They got some fans interested and got people to take a peek. But they really don't have the pitching that can sustain them over an entire season to get through with starting pitching. Already their bullpen guys are pitching every day. They're going to be worn out by middle of May, and probably the middle of May is right when they'll probably be at the bottom of the standings again, unfortunately.
Yeah, you really wonder about that, because Obana, if you really study it, you'll see what happened to teams that hired Obana as a pitching coach.
Right, this is Takao Obana, the second-year manager for the Bay Stars.
And he... Every team he's improved. Of course, he's not the pitching coach, he's the manager. And I think the Bay Stars, they have some good players. I really, you always got to like Ichiro Morimoto, but they did lose. They lost an amazing talent in Seiichi Uchikawa.
Right.
Went to the Hawks as a free agent.
Former batting champion.
Yep. Great guy. But they've got some terrific players, some terrific foreign players, and Brett Harper and
Termel Sledge.
I was going to say Percy Sledge.
Percy Sledge, Termel Sledge, the Hammer, the Yokohama Hammer. But, it'd be great to have them compete and not be a team that by the middle of June or early June is basically trying to play for respect, and then by July, August, September is just a team that people come in and expect to roll over and
pick up a couple
of victories.
Well, they haven't, they haven't rolled over. I think that's what happened with Obana. They didn't roll over, but nor did they ever catch fire.
Right.
They were the gutsy little eagles, since the gutsy little eagles are no longer the gutsy little eagles.
Yeah, and I think that... especially with this start, if you look at early on, who wants to look at the standings in April? But if you take a peek at the standings now, there's no team that's undefeated. There's no team in Central League that's dominating. It's good to have all the teams win at a healthy clip. And it seemed like last year the Bay Stars were winning one game a week, and it was just, what was going to be their day to win their game, and then the rest of the games were pretty much you might have to battle in the game, but you're going to come out on top of it if you make pitches and make good contact. So it's good to have them competing, and it'd be nice to have them, in the race a little bit longer.
Well, what happened with the Bay Stars, just the last thing about the Bay Stars before we move on, is that they became a much more competitive team in terms of the teams they beat.
Mm-hmm.
In previous years, they just got their butts kicked by the Tigers, Giants, and Dragons.
Right.
And all their wins were against the Carp and the Swallows. Last year they played everybody, you won't say they played everybody badly, but they were essentially as competitive. Regardless who they were playing, they didn't roll over against the Giants and Tigers,
right.
particularly,
right.
Which had been a trademark of theirs for several years. I think so. They did have fight. They didn't give up, but they never really caught fire either.
Right.
I don't think they have the deep talent to go on a prolonged winning streak. Especially, you know, the pitching is still. It seems like it's always a work in progress.
Right.
But I think they are. They are an entertaining team. I kind of like watching the Bay Stars, and you hope they do well, and I hope they surprise me, and I hope they make me look bad, look wrong, and prove me wrong.
Well, speaking of surprise, I think the Carp are surprising people the way that they've been playing at the beginning of the season here, and they look like they have some pitchers who can help sustain a run at the playoffs. Now, whether they can finish it off and keep it up, it's going to depend on them and other teams like Chunichi. Chunichi is not hitting well right now. I think
they're not hitting as a team. Well. They're hitting bottom, baby.
They're hitting bottom. They're hitting it hard.
That's the only thing they're hitting.
They're not hit. So if their lineup, I mean, if Joel Guzman comes around, their lineup could probably put some runs up there. Their problem is going to be can they pitch? Can they get Chen Wei Ying back pitching like he's been pitching the past two, three seasons? But they're hitting 199 as a team right now, and it's no surprise that they're 2-6. But I expect them to come around a little bit more when it gets warmer, because they have those Dominican players and they like the warm weather. So
we'll
see how things change in May, and when they play more games at home, they're probably going to win a lot more games home. Now let's move over to the Pacific League. We both picked Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks to finish first, and they're just stacked.
Yeah.
They're just stacked. And they had a couple of holes, one since I've been working at this gig here since 2005. They really haven't had a decent catcher, and they picked up Toru Hosogawa from the Cebu Lions, and that really plugged a big hole for them.
Yeah, they've had guys who could hit, and they've had guys who could catch a little bit. They never really had anybody who can throw out base runners.
Not at all. I remember us talking about that one day at the office, and I said the guy was awful, and he said, well, you just saw him once. And I said, look, he looks weak in the transfer from glove to ball. His footwork is bad, and he's really not that – he doesn't really have that strong an arm. And that's not going to change on a different day. And I remember us talking about that. And this guy, Hosokawa, at least he can throw some runners out for him. He's going to hit, and he's going to call a good game.
As nails. I tell you a story about Hosokawa. One day he'd got a thumb injury, and he'd got stitches in his thumb, and a reporter asked him, oh, when did you have the stitches out? Did you go to the doctor? Said, no, I took them out myself.
Yeah, where's the next game? Get me to the train station.
Exactly, he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
So they got him, and they got Uchikawa.
And they got Uchikawa, who's a premier hitter. He's really going to – he might not help him so much defensively, and I know
He can go get the ball. He's not really, really fast, but he's really, really gutsy. He has good judgment in the outfield. He doesn't make really silly mistakes.
Uh-huh.
He's good at going and getting balls at the wall and in the corner. He knows when he can make the play. He seems to know when he can't make the play, and there's something to be said for that.
Right, and unfortunately, we don't get a lot of defensive numbers to look at as reporters. But he did well in the World Baseball Classic and made a couple plays.
He could have been the MVP of that last game.
And so I do recall that. But he's not the most fleet of foot. He's not going to get to more balls than, let's say, Hitoshi Tamura would, but he certainly is, and he probably doesn't have the arm strength, but he's certainly going to fight out there. He's going to try to make those plays, and he's going to catch more than he drops. So he's a really good pickup for the Hawks. I think they're stacked.
They are. They've got a fast infield, at least a fast middle of infield in Kawasaki and Honda. And Honda is a vastly underrated player. And it's hard to be well-rated when you're in the same league as Kensuke Tanaka.
Yeah.
but he's a tremendous player. Those two give him a dynamite amount of speed. Tomer is not slow, and they've got that power in the outfield, the power and average,
right,
with Uchikawa and Matsunaka. I mean, Matsunaka, he's not dreadful in left. He's a very good base runner. And Tamura, you never know. He's never going to be healthy on a regular basis. He was last year and could have been probably should have been the MVP. But they're stacked. They got a catcher now. I have liked Matsu to the third baseman in the past. And actually, I think the other guy is better than him, Egawa, who's been they've pushed out of third base and they've given the job to Matsuda.
Oh, okay. Well, the only thing about Matsunaga that I don't like Matsunaga is that he's old.
The age is the only issue with the Hawks because
he's got those bad knees. He's got bad wheels, and that's going to slow him down. He might be a good He's a savvy base runner.
So what happens when he doesn't play? They've got Jose Ortiz.
Yeah.
And then at first base, they've got Kokubo, or they've got Alex Cabrera.
Speaking of Kokubo, last week's show, I was concerned about him maybe missing the rest of the year and possibly a career, and he's only come back this week. He came back Saturday, had a walk-off hit, and today, Sunday, when we're taping the show, he had a walk-off hit. So, I guess they made a lot of much ado about nothing with the broken finger because he came in. Sometimes a break and a fracture can be vastly different things, and he had a fracture, so he's back already contributing. Yeah. And that team, the only thing they have is a situation with their closer, who has been less than stellar and was deactivated.
Right.
Today, here,
and,
Sunday.
Falkenberg was closing.
And Falkenberg got the close today, so with no problems. So
he's done that in the past.
He's got the save. So I can't see any holes in that team. They should walk away with the Pacific League. Yeah. I predict they'll win 81 or 82 games.
Last year, at this time, the Hawks were wheeling and dealing. They were one of the most active teams in the trade market, along with the Bay Stars.
Mm-hmm.
But their front office has been now in place. The front office was just in place in the middle of the winter, just a little more than a year ago.
Right.
This winter, they seem to know exactly what they want to do. They didn't make any trades at all. And they seem to have all the pieces they want. Their pitching staff is pretty well set, pretty well stocked. Mori Fuku is a pitcher. I don't know. I was kind of mixed on, but he's been getting results.
He throws one of those little flutter balls that barely get to the plate, it seems. But guys can't time his pitches, and when they do, they end up yanking them right at people. So he's been effective numbers wise. I'm not sure that I trust him if I was the manager and had to put him in a game, but numbers wise, he's getting the job done. So then we differed here on the second place team.
The next three teams.
Right. I predicted the Lions would finish second, and again, they really should have won, in my opinion, the Pacific League last year, and they just stumbled at the end and weren't able to finish it off. They had some injuries. And then I picked the Eagles with their new skipper, Senichi Hoshino, coming back to the bench.
Yep.
And I picked them to compete for, at least contend, and then win a playoff spot.
Right.
And then I have the Fighters and last year's Japan Series team, the Lotte Marines. I have them finish fifth, and then the Buffaloes sixth.
Yeah, we both picked the Marines and the Buffaloes to finish fifth and sixth, respectively. What are your thoughts there?
The Buffaloes, I don't like their pitching staff. I'm not impressed. Again, offensively, they're going to generate some power on occasion, but they're ordinary. They have some speed, and they're going to steal some bases on occasion with a few players, but I just didn't see anything that told me, hey, this team is playoff worthy, and it's going to make a kick. The Marines lost a couple of key components. Their closer from last year, Kobayashi. This is Hiroyuki Kobayashi. He's gone to Hanshin. And they got a player back from injury last year.
Takashi
Ogino. He moved in from center. He's playing short now. And I wasn't sure how he was going to perform at short. But now that I've seen him play, I'd like to move the Marines up ahead of the Fighters into fourth place. But I still don't like their pitching staff, and I'm not sure that it's going to hold up for an entire season, especially the rotation.
Their pitching was a problem last year. I mean, there's no doubt about their pitch. As brilliant as their bullpen was at the end of the season in the Japan series, the pitching was a problem. Shinsuke was better than he'd been in a while, and Arise was better than he'd been in a season, but and Akakawa was a little, you know, had some effective, and Bill Murphy was a nice surprise. But they kept throwing guys out there who got hammered until the very end of the season when they only needed, you know, four pitchers to get through the playoffs, and they just used four pitchers, and they were brilliant. And the bullpen was just on lights out from word.
Those guys stepped up big time. Yeah, they stepped up big time, and I thought, you know, as a Dragons fan, I had to be honest, looking at the numbers, I'm like, well, the Dragons are going to get runs off of these guys. It's just a matter of how many they can get, and I kept counting the runs and then in my head, and then they just never materialized.
Here comes Yabuta, and he gets three, four, five guys out, and then come Uchi, and he had that cutter from hell during the Japan series.
Right, and
nobody could touch him.
And they couldn't touch him. They didn't get anything off of him. And I said, as soon as they run out of pitching, because there were, three extra inning games, one of them ended in a tie.
Right.
I just kept figuring the Dragons would score a run and late in some of those games.
And the bullpen that fell apart was the Dragons.
Well, I'm not even sure that it fell apart. They just tired out. I mean, it was such – honestly, the Marines had a much better offense.
Oh, yeah, the Marines' offense was easily the team's best since they moved to Chiba.
Right, for those guys, for the Dragons to try to get through those hitters each inning was just, you know, as good as they were, they were going to make mistakes.
Right.
And by golly, when they made mistakes, they got popped. Now, they weren't always home runs, they were hits, but they were key hits there, here and there. Just the innings kept going, the pitch count kept going up. They didn't get a hit that one inning. They got a hit the next inning. It just warm out.
Yep. Yeah. that was the case. The Marines' pitching was really pretty mediocre most of the year, up and down. But once the bell rang, there was nobody's pitched. You know, they looked like the San Francisco Giants, the Japan version.
Right. World champion San Francisco Giants, but we won't get into that now.
We're not going there. Okay.
All right, how many wins do you think it'll take to win that? I mean, it's so competitive in the Pacific League. I think
Pacific League, you can't even fewer wins. How many is it going to take? I think the Hawks are going to run away with it. I think they're just going to wear everybody down unless they get a host of injuries, which is always possible.
Possible, not likely. But
they're going to, you know, you don't even know. You know, you could see a scenario where the second through fifth, or teams are all within a few games of 500.
Yeah, it's quite possible. I mean, the Buffaloes could really get stomped on here.
Any of these
quickly, really quickly. But we'll have to
see. Marines have a chance to collapse. The Buffaloes probably a better chance. I don't see any of the other teams. The Eagles also a possibility because their roster is pretty fragile. They're in a sense not far away from the Bay Stars,
right?
In that they have some good players. They're a fun team to watch, but they just don't have enough. They don't have a lot of depth.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll see how the predictions pan out here. Let's move on to the number of home runs. We talked about these what we called the low impact balls. What I called it last week, and as I said, we have a crack research staff, and one of our crack researchers did some research on the number of home runs. And what did you come up with, Jim?
Okay, well, basically, it looks like the home runs are down. I didn't check. The first week, it seemed like we were having, you know, home runs up the wazoo, and to use a classic baseball term. So anyway, what I did is I looked at the home runs hit in games from April 12th to April 23rd. As you know, the season started late on account of the earthquake.
Right.
Now, in 2010, there were 2,874 balls in play.
Mm-hmm.
And and 88 home runs. In 2011, in the same period, we've had 2,921 balls in play and 81 home runs. Now, what this means is about a 9% drop in home run frequency. You put a ball in play, the chances of a home run were about 9% better.
Right, last year.
In 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much of this is what, we don't know. First of all, you know, changing the ball changes a lot of things because different teams use different balls. The team that would be probably most affected by these changes are the Giants.
Figures to be the Giants, where the ball seems to grow wings on its way to the outfield walls and then take off.
And they and the Giants have, the park is not oval, it's square, which means that the power alleys to straightaway left and right are very, very shallow. They're the shallowest fences in NPB. They're high, I mean, the walls are high, but the balls, when they used that old Mizuno ball, they got out.
It looked
a fly
like
ball and carry.
Tokyo Dome, where pop flies go to the crowd, you know, go to the outfield walls. I mean, I've seen some shots on TV that even the batters, when they swing and you see them follow through and they think, oh, gee, I just missed that one. And then all of a sudden they're circling the bases with their hands in the air. I mean, the ball just flies out of there. So
a lot of people don't remember, but when they built Tokyo Dome, it was a relatively large park, and this was in a period when the balls were not as lively, and they used to give you the players a million yen to hit one of the big billboards in Tokyo Dome, and generally they got hit about twice a year. And
this is on the back wall.
Remembers 10 years ago, they probably got hit twice a week. Twice in one game.
Yeah.
You know, Matsu used to hit those, you know, they had to take them out and repair them because Matsu was putting holes in them.
Hideki Matsu, he's with the Oakland A's now. Yeah, he hit the back wall at Tokyo Dome in the All-Star game. And Johnny Kuroki was pitching that night. And
wow.
He even shook his head, you know. He'd never seen a ball hit that hard. And I don't think I've ever been in a stadium where a ball hit harder. So that guy, he could hit a home run out of any place.
A lot of that was the ball. And we really don't, you know, until we start to see a lot of games at Tokyo Dome, we don't know how that's going to play out.
Now, you did some, as I said, I translated the Japanese, which was Tei Hanpatsu, as low impact ball, and you did some research on that. What did you come up with?
This is what we call, the official term is the coefficient of restitution. But essentially, this is how much a percentage of, I don't want to say more than I know. So I'll just be quiet the rest of the night. Essentially, this is the coefficient, the amount of energy the ball retains from the impact with the bat. And the Japanese rules are a measure of 0.4134 on the low end to 0.4374. Now, I think they are measuring this differently from the United States because it seems like the major league numbers are higher. So I'm not really certain here.
Well, I will continue to call it the low. That sounds like a low impact to me.
Okay, but according to Katsuhiko Nakamura from the commissioner's office, who's the man in charge of Japan's balls.
Mm-hmm. Got Japan's title. Baseball game.
Exactly, baseball. The baseball czar. the new balls made by Mizuno, they are essentially at the very bottom end of that range.
Okay.
And so they predicted we'd see about 10% fewer home runs. But what happened, another thing that'll happen is you're going to see if there are 10% fewer, if home runs are 10% less likely, you'll probably actually see a larger reduction in home runs.
Because players will stop trying to hit them.
Players are going to stop swinging for the fences. Players, you're going to see more one-run strategies, more players batting for contact because the home run is less of a bigger gamble. So I think this will happen. I wouldn't be surprised if home runs drop by 15 to 20%.
I think that's a little drastic, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes the rest of the season. Let's move on to some of the top performing rookies so far.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you've had a chance to see Sawamura yet. I caught a little bit of him on TV, and I was pretty impressed with his poise, if anything. He didn't seem to get rattled at all, and even his comments after the game were that of seeming like a veteran who's been there before.
Well, a friend who's a scout told me that, in fact, I had two scouts tell me that Sawamura was head and shoulders above the rest of the amateur prospects, not only because of the quality of his stuff, but because of the quality of his head.
Yeah.
That he was a bulldog, unperturbable, a fighter.
Very,
and that put him ahead of the other guys.
Yeah, and that's very much visible on the mound. I mean, he just didn't get rattled. The guys get on base. He's pretty poised guy. You know, I haven't really seen him give up a run yet. he's a strong guy out there on the mound. Just a strong presence. So
right.
Even if you do get a hit or you do score off of him, it doesn't seem like it's gonna bother him. He's just gonna get the next guy out and get back to the dugout.
Okay.
He looks like he's primed to be the rookie of the year,
unless
injuries or anything, unless they figure him out. But you know, he's not just throwing fastballs out there; he's actually pitching.
Well, he has a big advantage in that sense, in that he's already got a name. A lot of rookie of the year is recognition rather than what is actually done on the field. But he does have a name as a premier draft choice, and so if he keeps going the way he did in his first two starts, yeah, I think he's probably going to be rookie of the year.
Okay.
And we have some other guys, however.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have the handkerchief prince. He won again tonight.
He won again tonight, and when we were watching him throw, it looked like he was throwing a little bit of batting practice in the early innings, but he. He gave up 8 hits, over 6 innings.
And 2 solo home runs, which is good timing.
Right, over 6 over 6 innings, he gave up 8 hits, but you know, only 2 runs, only did 2 solo home runs. He seems to mix up his pitches very well, and he seems to be the kind of the only guy I could really compare him with is Don Sutton in the major leagues from the 70s and 80s, guy who threw every pitch he could find.
Yeah,
the right-hander, but he always kept you off balance.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, he's going to have to do that because he doesn't have his fastball. Really, doesn't have all that much. He has good command of his other pitches. He's just going to have to learn and feel comfortable throwing his pitches is a big thing, and not be flustered by it. Now, he called tonight's win pretty lucky. He got out of some jams just by the grace of God. So I think that was probably right on the button there.
Yeah.
We have a couple of other guys.
Yuki Saito, by the way, is his name. And yeah,
Yuki Saito, yep.
I saw him in his interview after the game and put it on my blog, so, which is already up. So.
Wow. Okay, some other rookies. We have the Lions' second draft choice. We're skipping the Lions' first draft choice because nobody's seen him yet.
Who is he again? Does he have a name?
Tatsuya Oishi.
Oishi, yeah. And who was the guy they got last year? I think he's in the witness protection program.
Yeah.
Called their farm team, and he might never be heard from again. But
no, he'll be around. He'll be around. He's got some quality stuff. I don't know what the issue with him right now is. Well, anyway, while those guys are not present, and their second round draft choice is a submarine right-hander. He's a very similar pitcher to Shinsuke Watanabe of the Marines. And this guy's name is Hideto. Oh, excuse me. I'm looking at your notes.
No problem.
This guy is Kazuhisa Makita.
Makita, yeah. And I remember you wanted to see him pitch the other day, and you got a chance to see him.
I did. He's pitched twice now. He still hasn't won a game. He's 0-1, but he's allowed 3 runs on 6 hits in 15 innings. And he's really like Shinsuke. He's walked one guy and hit 2.
That's my kind of player.
Yeah.
Why throw 4 when you can throw 1?
big, well, my logic there. So we have his rookie teammate who's been starting in right field, Hideto Akiyama.
Right. And
really
he,
go and get the ball.
Well, he started out really well. He had a really good first week, and but he's crashed down a little bit this week. I saw a little bit of frustration in space yesterday and a little bit of bat slamming yesterday on Saturday after he struck out after an at-bat. But, you know, he's really young. He's really young. And if they're going to give him a shot, they're going to leave him out there and let him have a shot. They must
see
something.
The other thing is, as one of the announcers very well put it very well, it's hard to imagine a player named Akiyama not succeeding with the Lions, especially a young outfielder.
Because of the history?
Because the current Hawks manager, of course, made his career with the Lions. Koji Akiyama.
Koji Akiyama, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, some other guys who are not first-year players,
mm-hmm.
but who could still win the Rookie of the Year award. Now, we found this, our fellow from the CARP, who was their number one draft choice last year, Imamura.
Imamura, uh-huh.
He's looked very good twice. He won his first career game in his first start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They have a young outfielder who... named Yoshihiro Maru.
Maru, yes.
Had some very good swings the other day when I saw him play against Swallows.
And he had a chance to hit for the cycle one day last week, and they asked him on the on-field interview, during the on-field interview after the game, were you thinking about the cycle? And he said, no, and, you know, he actually had a chance to go to... he had a double, and he didn't hesitate to stop at second base and not try to go for three. And they asked him about it. He said, no, the team comes first, and I just want to do what I can do to help the team win. So he had a really good week. He had a really strong week. So
well, he's going to get a chance to play, which is the most important thing for a Rookie of the Year, is that you get a chance to play.
Exactly, and then one of the impressive things is that he's pushed out a couple of outfielders who are really strong defensively.
Yep.
Amaya Soichiro.
Yep.
And Mr.
Akamatsu, Spider-Man.
Mr. Akamatsu, the Spider-Man catch. And he's out there playing, I think, mostly because of his bat. So if he improves or at least doesn't diminish the play defensively out there in the field, he will get a chance to prove what he can do offensively.
Now, the last guy I would want to mention, it's like they're all mostly in the Pacific League, is Hitoshi Yamamoto with the Swallows. He pitched against the Dragons the other day and threw 7 shutout innings.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked very dominant. And, geez, it's like, I don't know what it is with the Swallows, but I don't know if some of these guys like Kawashima ever come back, you don't know where the heck they're going to play because... It's not going to be any room for him.
There's not going to be room, yeah. That's if these guys keep performing. I mean, that's what young players, consistency is the major issue for them a lot of times, and we'll see if these young players can remain consistent and you know, keep producing, especially when the situation has more pressure involved, when it's the second half of the season, there's teams
True.
Chasing you, people,
well,
the money's on the table here.
Well, one thing that's kind of interesting at this juncture is that historically, when you have a situation which favors pitchers, such as, you know, using a less lively ball or
mm-hmm.
bigger parks or whatever the playing conditions are, you tend to see more and more pitchers develop really brilliant careers. They're put in conditions where they're able to succeed and build on their success from a young age. And you saw this in the 60s. You had all these pitchers who could throw 300 innings every single year, pitchers like Tom Seaver and Steve Carlton and, Nolan Ryan, all these guys came out of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And when the conditions change to favor the hitters, it's a lot harder for these young pitchers to develop without blowing out their arms. I think we could see, just looking at this stack, this core of good young pitchers, I think we're gonna be in for a treat the next 5, 6, 7 years as these guys mature, playing, especially, you know, if playing for the Swallows, playing for the Dragons, playing for the Fighters.
Right.
Where not only the Swallows Park isn't particularly helping them, but the new ball will. And if you're playing for the Dragons or the Fighters or the Swallows, you have that great defense behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like throwing the ball out there and feeling that if you execute your pitch, somebody's going to catch the ball.
And you're going to get some outs. You're going to get some outs.
Get some outs, exactly.
All right, and our last topic today, now there's a quirk in the schedule, as we discussed earlier, that the Dragons and Giants didn't have games for 4 days. And that's basically because they're not using Tokyo Dome, and they weren't able to play. Do you think they're going to juggle their rotations? The Dragons, you know, they started with Maximo Nelson with the opening day starter, and... you know, you never know who's coming the next day after that. They did
not
get
the Dragons,
one of their
anyway.
Aces. Yeah, when they get one of their right-handed ace, Kazuki Yoshimi came out and threw the other day, threw 7 scoreless. So, and then the Giants might go. I wouldn't be surprised to see them throw Sawamura when they come out with their first game on Tuesday. But do you think they're going to juggle their rotations to try to get the best pitchers out there?
What does the rotation mean after you've had 5 days off? You know, I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
Right. You know, if you skip a guy, does it really matter? Because he's not going to pitch for like 10 days anyway.
Right. I mean, what difference? I mean, I would just go with the matchups you want, and if you want Sawamura as the guy you want to pitch out there, you know, start him in the second game instead of the third, or the, you know, wait for the fourth game.
Right.
Instead of waiting for his turn. Yeah, go ahead and use him. It's like you get opening day again. So why not reset your lineup for it?
Right, and this time you get to choose, you know, somebody who's going good. On Tuesday, the Giants will be playing the Swallows. And the Dragons in Shizuoka, and the Dragons will be playing the Bay Stars. So that was their opening day matchup, actually, Dragons and Bay Stars. So we'll look for.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
They were both opening day matchups. The Dragons opened up with
the Swallows. Yeah, the Swallows will be at home in Shizuoka,
so to speak.
Yep.
So we'll look forward to see what happens there. What are you going to be working on with your column this upcoming week?
Well, I. It's always a puzzle. We're looking at, I think I'll be writing about some of my favorite young, they're not so young players anymore, but guys who came up who looked like can't-miss players in the minors, and see how they're doing. One of them was Hatakeyama.
Okay.
And so we'll be talking about him and a couple other guys, another guy. So I won't go into too much detail about that. How about you, John?
The hard drives will be coming out this upcoming Wednesday, and I went and talked to some of the Carp pitchers and the pitching coach about their rotation and their fine start. So
yep.
I'll be discussing that in the hard drives, and hope you guys give it a look. This has been Japan Baseball Weekly with John Gibson.
And Jim Allen.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Jim.
Yep. Bye, John.